Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Marty Oakley, TS Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 161 and counting. We are heading for the year, and the new year's coming in, and I hope that 2018 is going to be a better year than 2017. I just want to go over a couple of things before we get the show started. All you new listeners out there, welcome aboard. I can't thank you enough for coming on and tuning in, and hope you keep coming back. All you returning listeners, I just appreciate all your support you have given this show, because I couldn't do it without you. My voice is out there in the airwaves, and you know I need more people to join in and that take that action and help out the animals in need, because if without us, they have no hope to carry on. So please, everyone, take that time, that meaningful time, and contact your state representatives, your state senators, the White House. And I'm going to give you a couple numbers here. If you can storm away, even put them in your phone, because our voices do matter out there. Don't ever think that they don't, because all lives matter, including all the animals. So if you please, if you could call this number 24/7, 365 days a year after hours, you could just leave a voicemail. Try to be polite and professional, not demanding or irate with these politicians and whomever legislative assistants. The area code 202-224-3121, and that area code's 202-224-3121. Press 1 for senator. Press 2 for your state representative. Then they're going to ask you for a zip code. Put your zip code in. It's going to lead you right to them. If after hours, just leave a voicemail. And just, you know, like I said, please be show them dignity and respect. That's what I do in every email or phone call I make. I get a lot farther than that, you know, that by doing so. You know, you treat humans and animals with dignity and respect, and you shall get it in return. My name is Debbie Dahmer. I am the host, and I want to welcome everyone on board, because we need all of you to do it. You know, I'm not a state representative. I'm not a politician. I'm not an expert. This show, it explains how, you know, all of us coming together as one to do something, not just let it slide by us and close our eyes, because if we ignore it, the problem's only going to get worse. And your voice does matter, okay? Your signatures matter. You're standing up for what you believe in, and don't fall. But I got a chat room that's open right now if you'd like to join in. And just go to Blog Talk Radio, and upper right-hand corner, sign in. You can sign in from Facebook or Twitter. Scroll down past the comments, and the chat room will appear. You're more than welcome to come in, and I'm going to be having some links in there to share. Or if you have anything to share with me, you can also post it in there also. All these shows are recorded live every Tuesday and archived on Blog Talk Radio. And how you can get to that is www.blogtalkradio.com, and then search Voices Care for Animals, or you can put my name, Debbie Dahmer, or TS Radio, and all the 160 shows will pop up. You know, you can listen and share 24/7. And, you know, just pass it along. Share it to your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, you know, your sons, daughters, because they all matter. And the more of us that come together as one, the faster the action will be taken. So please, everyone, do your part. Just don't sit and close your eyes to it, because animals and the children, the elderly, they don't have a voice. They can't defend for themselves. So we have to do it for them. I want to give a huge shout out to all the Facebook page and Twitter and Google pages out there. Voice for Animals on Twitter, Sean Walters. Thank you for your participation in promoting this show every week. Fans of Animal Rights, Arlene, thank you so much. Every Tuesday, you check out these Fans of Animal Rights on Facebook. Check them out. Press like. Check out what they got. And do your part. Paul's in the Law, Beth Sheehan, thank you very much. I love to give this shout-out whenever I can. The Paul's Call Show, Leanne Webster, thank you. Help Fight the War Against All Animal Cruelty, Evelyn Pendle and Debbie Eisman. I saw admin on there. Voices Carry for Animal Support Group on Facebook. Megan Mason and Holly Smith, Take Action, Help Ban Animal Gas Chambers. Voice of Animals on Facebook, Voice for Animals on Google Plus. I mean, this list goes on with Deb Potamano. I call her my press agent. Thank you, Deb Potamano. You're such a great team player out there also, and all the Facebook friends. This list could be huge. And I wanted to give a big shout out to my mother. It's her birthday was yesterday. And happy birthday, Mom. I know we had a great day together with you, and many more to you. And I love you, and may God bless you. Also, Lois Newman, she's out there listening. That's Marty Oakley's sister. Thank you, Lois. You keep coming back. And my mother, that brings me inspiration to keep going and fight for these animals, because they so well deserve it. And with each and every one of us doing our part, we can see some positive changes to be made, because all of us humans and animals are all on this earth temporary, so we got to make the best of it and make it the best for them too, because, you know, they're out there, they're innocent, you know, defenseless, helpless, and voiceless. So what we can do to make this a better, safer, and healthier world for them, we must do it, okay, everyone? Because they so well deserve it. I see some horrific stories out there on Facebook and the news feed that makes your stomach churn, how so a lot of these animals are getting treated. And that shouldn't be the cause. I just wanted to bring on one thing. There's been some good news here, and we need your help, everyone, about these nursing homes. I know everybody heard about these 14 deaths in this Hollywood, Florida, where all these resident patients died. Well, there's going to be this was just introduced in the legislation in November the 14th, Senate Bill number 896. And if everyone would please contact Florida Senator Joe Negron, the number is 772-219-1665. Or area code 850-487-5025. Ask him or leave a message to please bring ultimate attention to the House Committee on the signed Senate Bill 896 and file that you fully support this bill. We need everybody's ultimate attention on this, because all of us is going to become the elderly if God is willing, and it's not a pretty picture out there, because I also also advocate for the elderly. And a big thank you to Senator Gary Farmer for introducing this into legislation, because it's improvement in the nursing homes in Florida. You might want to tell your state, if you're out of Florida, about this bill, even copy it or whatever. It's Senate Bill 896. Let's get the ball rolling, because this is going to help nursing homes. There's punitive damages. that's going to get repealed. I'm a big part of that. So is Family for Better Care and Foundation, Foundation Aiding the Elderly. David Martin, which was on Al Jazeera TV, producer investigator, where they mandated my mother to pay 50% of the punitive damage to help improve the quality of care in nursing homes back in 2015. So I'm going to go with this because my dad was an ex-professional wrestler, everyone. May he rest in peace. I love him very much. I will fight to this till I die. But there is a petition on causes, stiffer laws, and harsher penalty for nursing homes. There is good nursing homes out there, and then there are the bad nursing homes. Let's bring the bad up to the good. And this nursing home improvement for generators and improvement in nursing homes, I mean, this list is huge. So please support Senator Gary Farmer, Senate Bill 896, Florida. So we're going to go ahead with the show. I love all your support and everything, so please do so. And I'm going to bring her on. Her name is Ashley Keith, and she is the founder of Humane Mushing. And I'm going to welcome her aboard. And this is such an honor and a pleasure. How are you doing this evening, Ashley? Go right ahead.
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
No problem at all. Go ahead. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started and everything? We'll go from there.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, Ashley.
Well, thank you. So I got involved with sled dogs about 20 years ago in 1998 in January. And so I started with just one dog. I started getting involved with people locally who had dog teams for both show and racing. And I started getting more and more involved. I ended up going to Minnesota in 2001 and working for an Iditarod kennel, and they had 75 dogs there. I was there for an entire season, so from about September to April, where I did racing and handling and learned all the aspects of operating a larger kennel. Then in 2003, I ended up going to Alaska and handling for an Iditarod champion. I only ended up staying there a couple weeks because what I saw was just, it was not what I had envisioned of going to Alaska, and with the Iditarod, there was too many dogs and the conditions were just so subpar. And that was what really kind of turned me from the racing aspect and the competitive side of it more to the rescue and the education. And ever since then, I've been rehabilitating and adopting out and trying to do like humane mushing presentations and teach people that there is a humane way to run sled dogs. And there's also an industrial way to run sled dogs, which is a lot of what we see with like the Iditarod, the Yukon Quest, the larger races where people are factory farming hundreds of dogs, chaining them out in blank yards in Alaska, Montana. There's some here in Colorado. And we're just working to try, the movement is to try and move away from that and get back to why a lot of us got into dogs in the first place, and that was for the love of the dog and for the love of being out there with your animal. So that's really kind of what formed Humane Mushing, was seeing the dirtier sides of the sport and banding together with people that wanted to see it done better.
And that's what it takes, is all of us come together as one and do what we can, you know, to make it better for them. Because who's going to especially thank us is the animals, because they're going to see their lives
mm-hmm.
change for the better. And they're going to, you mm-hmm. know, they can't say thank you because, you know, they can't call up the police or report it, or call up on this radio station and tell us how they're feeling. And, you know, we have to be their voices. We can't, if we see something, if you see anybody out there, you see animal cruelty going on, I don't know if it's child, elderly, report it, because now
mm-hmm.
you're stepping in their feet or paws, and you're doing something about it instead of letting them suffer or possibly death. You know, so I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's just that's one of the problems that we face, especially in the humane mushing movement, is because in many municipalities and even in some entire states, sled dogs are specifically exempted from the animal cruelty statutes. So even if it says that it's illegal to chain a dog outside 24 hours a day in any type of weather, in any type of structure, you'll see there'll be a little subsection that says this excludes working sled dogs, and a lot of times it also excludes like working hunting dogs, but a lot of times you'll see sled dogs on there, and the state of Alaska specifically exempts sled dogs entirely from their animal cruelty statutes. So not just from chaining, not just from housing, but Alaska exempts them entirely, which we have a couple petitions going to try and address that. But that's the whole reason why races like the Iditarod are even able to exist there. In a lot of states, there's laws about chaining, there's laws about housing, and there's laws about overworking or overdriving your animal. And in Alaska, the sled dog doesn't get to fall under any of those. They have absolutely no protection, which is part of what we're working to change.
No protection. That's so sad. You know, and they deserved it. I mean, I've seen some photos. I said, check out, if you would give the audience out there, you know, your Facebook page and your website and Twitter, see what they can do to help out. Because I've seen some very, I couldn't believe my eyes. It's like a concentration camp. And
it is. That's a lot of times what it gets described as.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, and they're out in the cold and snow. I looked at those photos, I was like, how? I mean, why are there so many cold-hearted and cruel people out there? And that's what comes down to, you know, it just, give them peace and comfort and happiness and love, you know, treat them with dignity and respect. They do have rights. They do have rights.
A lot of the problems, too, is that, like, because I used to be very involved in, like, the inner circle of competitive mushing, and I still talk to a few people, but for the most part, I'm not involved with it. A lot of them won't talk to me because they know what I'm working on. But the mushers in industrial mushing really try and show the public or try and make the public believe that these dogs are somehow different because they're working dogs, and that they're less deserving of the same health protection, like the same, like getting regular vaccines, getting heartworm preventative, being allowed off the chain, being allowed indoors, getting regular training, playing with toys, being a part of the family. They're like, oh, they don't want to do that, they just want to run. Well, they do love running, and we've never negated that in our movement. Like, we're not trying to end mushing. We're just trying to make it so that those who practice it are doing it humanely. And Europe is far ahead of us in this entire concept. The World Sled Dog Association specifically states that chaining is cruel and inhumane, and all the clubs that fall under them state that and prohibit it. And in Europe, mushers have smaller kennels, and the dogs are members of their family, and they're still producing and having world-class athletes that are winning at world championship levels, and they don't have to have hundreds and hundreds of dogs on chains just being mass-produced to do it. So it is possible to even do humane mushing and still be competitive. And Europe is very far ahead of us as far as animal welfare goes, especially in sled dog sports. And it's something we're trying to incorporate. We've had a lot of people from overseas reach out to us to try and see what they can lend us to try and build what they have over here. And it's hard because not only do the mushers and the sponsors and the fans over here fight against any sort of change, but the organizations, the race governing organizations, don't want anything to do with it, don't want to admit that anything they've been doing is cruel or inhumane. So it's a very hard fight to fight when the people you're trying to help and the animals you're trying to help are essentially against you.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's an ongoing, you know, a lot of this stuff, and this didn't start happening today. It's been going on for decades after decades after decades. And it's got to come, you know, got to draw the line somewhere, because, you know, just like now in the future, we can't do nothing about the past, but we learn from our, you know, to go forward and try to make it a better and safer and healthier world for these animals, even for the humans. You know, if you look at the all-around picture, it's an ugly picture out there. I mean, I've done so many shows, Ashley, and it just blows my mind of how much cruelty is going on out there, how much neglect is going on out there. You know, there are animals that do get treated with dignity and respect, but if you look at the ones in need that don't, it's a sickening picture. And these animals cannot stand up and fight for themselves. You know, they deserve to live just like we do. You know, we share this earth together temporarily. You know, no reason to hide them or sweep them under the carpet, close their eyes, walk by. No, I don't believe in that.
That's really what's been happening with the sport as a whole for the past two decades that I've been involved is the cruelties and the neglectful practices are just kind of, they're just accepted and they're hidden very well by the inner community. The whole Whistler incident where the sled dogs were slaughtered, that was the vice president of one of like the primary organizations for our sport, Mush with Pride, Bob Fawcett. He was the one that killed those animals. And so that it just proves that self-regulation amongst mushers, like, it doesn't work, because all they're trying to do is just continue doing what they're doing, which is the easiest way possible, and making the most profit off the dogs while the dogs are in turn suffering. And I mean, after, I'm sure you know the Sled Dogs documentary that Fern made, that's really bringing it to light. It's been very hard to get people to actually look beyond the brochures and actually take a look at what's behind the sled dog ride, what's behind the selfie, what happens to those dogs when you go home at the end of your vacation, what happens to them for the rest of the year, the rest of the summer. And her film really brought it out, so it's brought a lot of attention to it, so people are actually starting to listen. We're trying to get more photos and more information out. We've had a number of mushers that have actually contacted us that want to like revamp how they're doing things and that want to stop chaining and want to move to kenneling. There's a law that just passed in Pennsylvania for the state that is a statewide law limiting tethering. And it had an exemption in it for sled dogs, but because of how the exemption was worded, law enforcement could still hold sled dog kennels accountable. And I spoke with a couple animal control officers and an ADA there, and they actually agreed, and they're like, yes, the way it's worded, this is enforceable. And one of the kennels in the municipalities there is actually building kennels and moving away from chaining. So I mean, it is possible. It's not, with the legislation, we're not going to kill the sport, we're not going to stop mushing, we're just going to make it so that the animals that are doing all this work for you and achieving all of this for you, that they get to live the same quality of life as any other dog, which is the quality of life that they deserve. And if you go on humanemushing.com, you can see I've got a lot of info on there as far as, like, other organizations' positions, studies on chaining dogs. The In Defense of Animals has a federal chaining survey that they have out because they're working on a federal ban, which is great. And it would not exclude sled dogs, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how that turns out. We've also got a lot of action alerts as far as current petitions to sign. I know Dallas Savy's been in the news lately because of the doping in the Iditarod and then the photos of alleged cruelty at his kennel. So, I mean, a lot of people are listening right now and actually paying attention, and it's just my hope that they'll look beyond the brochure and really see what is happening to these dogs and do something.
That's right. Just don't let it go on, you know, and any listeners out there, you can listen to this show at area code 917-388-4520. Press 1 to speak. And that area code is area code 917-388-4520. Press 1 to speak. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations. You're more than welcome to come on board. Like I said, this show is archived, so anybody that's coming late, you can always wait half hour after the show and get the archived version and share and spread the word. because the more voices out there, the better. There is an article on the PPJ Gazette where you can get some information, some links. Share it from the bottom of the article to Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, WordPress. This list is huge. Also on Blog Talk Radio at the top across from Marty Oakley's name, press follow. And on both of them, you can get any new podcasts, new ones coming up, delivered right to your primary email. So that when you're getting the word out, coming together as one, I mean the FM, AM radio stations out there, the newspapers, the news on the TV, magazines, we can make it a big difference. I've seen it happen so many times with all of us coming together. It starts out on the news, hits to the social media, then it hits the politicians and the organizations. I mean, this is one big, huge circle here of people coming together as one. You know, no drama, just take care of business, do your thing, and watch them new laws come in or they get stricter. And that's a big plus for all of us, right, Ashley? Because that's so meaningful right there. That means you're not spinning your wheels. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, I mean, this year alone, there's been more and more anti-chaining laws go on the books all over the country. And right now, one thing that we're petitioning for is to tell the governor of Alaska to actually include sled dogs in their animal cruelty protections. And then after, because changing the laws in Alaska is one thing, but if the sled dogs aren't covered by the laws, then changing the laws isn't, I mean, it's still good, but it doesn't solve the problem. So one of the primary things that we're trying to do, and it's actually through the Animal Rescue Site, the petition, is asking the governor of Alaska to give sled dogs protection under the animal cruelty statutes and stop exempting them. And once we achieve that, then we can go forward and actually work on anti-chaining laws, work on housing laws, work on numbers laws. Because, I mean, a lot of these places, the Mitch Stevie's Kennel in Alaska that I went to, there were over 200 dogs there. And it was just insane to see and think that anybody could possibly think that is an okay life for those dogs. And other people have gone there, and other people have gone there and gone sledding and left and thought it was great. And I personally, as someone who's been running dogs for 20 years and loves my breed and my sport, I don't understand how anyone can go somewhere like that and leave thinking that it's okay. That's part of what I struggle with.
Well, yeah, when it's not okay, when you see something wrong, and it's not okay, stand up for what you believe in, because all of us, you know, and I appreciate everyone that all these animal rights activists, all these former guests, you stepping up to play, these organizations say, no, enough is enough. We need to draw the line, do something and take action. That's the key right there. And we got a caller waiting there, Ashley, if you want to take a call.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Area code 530. Yeah, I know who this is. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello,
sister.
Good evening. Good evening, ladies. It is a real hi. Oh, hey, we're fighting for the animals like always. It's a real pleasure to be welcomed to join in the conversation on your radio session today, Debbie. So hello to both of you.
Hello and welcome. And everybody out there, Jennifer, the Canadian, right? Is it Jennifer? She has
Kennedy?
Been a guest on this show several times, Paul's Across America.
Well,
so
we can't stay away.
Yeah,
can't stay away, Debbie. Can't stay away.
That's a plus.
The fight goes on, right?
That's right. We won't give up. We're not going away. You know?
No, we've got to be tenacious mongoose.
That's right. But check her out. Paul's Across America. You know, her
absolutely.
Cecilia Maida. And we're your sisters. Yes, go
thank
right
you.
Ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, thank you again. And I recently, a few months ago, had the pleasure of connecting with Miss Ashley. She is amazing on her mission for helping these beautiful, majestic mush dogs. And after I started talking to her and she showed me the cause that she's working on, I was just aghast. It was a real eye-opener. Probably many of you probably remember, I don't know who produced it, but the movie called Balto. The cartoon many years ago. I remember watching it as a young person, and you know, you just see all the glam and the glory of the beautiful mush dogs, but to see what these dogs are forced to go through off season and how they suffer unspeakably through, I mean, in snow with nothing but a barrel and a chain. Out in this, in the exposed elements, it tears my heart out, and I had no clue that the mush dogs, and I've always would hear of the Iditarod, and again, the public displays it as so glamorous, and most of society hasn't a clue what these dogs go through. And what's interesting is I had the privilege of being able to view the sled dog film that Ashley mentioned with Fern, a producer, and their team. And I had to pull out the tissues. It was so hard to watch what these dogs have how they suffer. And and how originally that the story of Balto happened back in 1925, and probably many of you know, was a race of mercy where Balto and these dogs went to take medicine for so many sick children in Nome and Anchorage area out of necessity. Because it was an emergency and they had to get this medicine across. But not until 1973 is when the Iditarod truly started to become and form into this high-paced, money-making race, the last great race, they call it, and where these dogs are forced to trek over 1,000 miles, okay, mm-hmm. in some of the most harsh, grueling, very, very cold temperatures and blizzards over 1,000 miles, and a lot of this is done between 8 to 15 days. They force
the original,
these dogs.
The first Iditarod, it was 20-something days, and now what everybody's saying is that in the next couple of years, we're going to see a 7-day Iditarod.
Good
And right
Lord.
Now, it's just above 7 days. And it's with the CBs that keep setting the pace record.
And Ashley, correct, and that's why a lot of these kennels and these record breakers you're finding them getting in trouble for pushing drugs on their dogs, because
mm-hmm.
they treat their dogs as if they're machines. They call them these mega athletes, is in the sled dog documentary. There's a lady on there that says, you know, what the public needs to know is that there are dogs, and then there are, like, mush dogs. And it's like,
that's Gina. Yeah, that's Gina from Krivlunik, and that's the largest. Gina Phillips has the largest sled dog operation, touring operation in the lower 48, and it's also historically has been one of the largest cruelty cases for sled dog operations in the lower 48 as well.
Right, and
so that's,
and it's,
that's who said that.
And it's like, how do you justify that? I mean, what's the difference? I mean, you can have a dog in good shape and healthy, but a dog is still going to get sick, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to go through grueling, symptoms by pushing them so hard, and then I mean, that's what they do just during the race. And then,
mm-hmm.
because the Iditarod itself is a far cry from its original beginnings with, you know, in 1925 and that race with the medicine.
And Jen, at the original Iditarod, it wasn't one team taking it all across, and it was actually Togo,
right.
was one of the dogs that finished that Balto got a lot of credit for, but it was
right.
relays of teams
Relay,
taking
correct.
The medicine, and it wasn't just your dog team going 1,000 miles as fast as it could. It was relays of dog teams,
yep.
and so it's nothing, it does nothing to honor the original race at
right.
all.
because it's more like the Pony Express, basically. So it's like they went from this point to this point, and then a new fresh team, and then you go from there and on from point to point. And I mean, and that would be more of a, like, you're pushing, you know, you're promoting humane mushing for, for fun, and not, you know, basically killing these dogs off with no options. I mean, they've got to go, and it's just incredible. And so, with that, and Ashley's talking about so many of these beautiful dogs are exempt, and this cruelty and abuse is legal in the United States of America, up in Alaska, and these other places in Colorado, legal abuse. And that's why in defense of animals, as director of the federal campaign, Break the Chains campaign, we're so delighted to be able to connect with Ashley. And she's been very supportive of the campaign because we want to see all dogs included. There is no reason why there should be a separation between a backyard dog and these dogs that are forced to run. None of them deserved to exist on the end of chains. And so we, part of our action plan, I can't give too many details because some of it's, anyway, don't want to give too much information, but basically part of the plan we have in action is to take steps to equally include working dogs in a federal ban as well as your backyard dog. There should be no distinguishing difference. There is no difference. They all hurt. They all bleed. They all suffer.
Yep.
And so we want to see all dogs included. So that's basically I wanted to cover. It's just that, you know, these dogs aren't machines. They're not machines. And they deserve to live a comfortable life as man's best friend should. So thank you so much, Ashley, for being a warrior. You and Fern and your team for exposing the nightmare. It's a race of disgrace is what I've been calling it. And there's no reason that this has to go on and that these dogs have to suffer and exist like this. It's like Debbie said, it looks like a concentration camp. I don't even know how those dogs can survive at all in those conditions. Just
a lot of them don't. I mean, that's the sad thing is that a lot of them don't. They either die as puppies because they're producing so many litters, or if they don't make the main team, sometimes those dogs are shot. Sometimes they're let loose. We've seen mushers abandon them at shelters.
Gosh,
and
a nightmare.
Care for the elderly dogs, like if they make it past that non-existent.
It's a living nightmare. These dogs are forced to go. Right, and it's got to stop. We got to stop it, and that's what we're doing. So thank you so much, Debbie, for having us here and helping to expose this you know chronic problem and help us address it. So thank you so much, Ashley. You're awesome.
And you know what, Jennifer?
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for all you're doing. Okay. I see you out there. You're like all of us. That's you know, advocating out there for the animals. We're relentless. We're not going to go away until justice is served, and not just for one, but all of them. You know, this is this show. I'm standing up, speaking out for all the animals in need. I can't change nothing, but thousands of like me can. If we just come together as one, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land, because that's meaningful right there. Because if we don't, these problems are just going to get worse. And it's you think it's bad now, you wait if we don't do nothing about it, and then just say you know they blame it on society. We are society, everyone. And
Like I mentioned earlier, we're each a critical piece of the puzzle, and we each play a very important part in getting these changes made to create the whole picture. So, you know, it takes each and every one of us to do that. So I don't know if you have any other callers, but if anyone's interested in helping us build this federal campaign to ban chaining across the country, please go to In Defense of Animals. If you want to go to IDAUSA.com. sledgehunting.org and click on our campaigns. We have a survey that we are encouraging veterinarians, law enforcement, animal control, rescues, any professionals, anyone that sees the suffering that our dogs experience on the end of tethers, please log on. Please fill out the survey. Please share it with everyone because we want to show legislators in mass numbers that basically we want America to speak out. So America has spoken by demonstrating and sharing what these dogs go through across the country. So we greatly appreciate it. This is how we're building the campaign. Thank you.
And one thing.
Thank you. Yep.
One thing I would just add to that is I've been sending it to handlers that have worked for big name mushers. I've been sending it to not only law enforcement and veterinarians, but I think anybody that's worked for a musher in like a handler aspect would also benefit from filling out that survey and sending in, and that's a way for hopefully for them to get some of what they saw off their chest and feel like they're helping without necessarily filing a police report or something. You can still help. Just go there and fill it out and attach the photos and tell us what you've seen.
Right, and that's what we really are encouraging everyone to do is to share as many details as possible, and especially, it may sound horrible, but the more brutal the photographs that you can upload to the survey, the more shocking it is because it's reality. It's reality, and our lawmakers need to see this brutal reality and what these dogs, what happens to these dogs. So with this survey, it allows people to use that to the capacity of uploading photographs and documents to support, this cause, and so they can see what happens. So it's a really good tool. So we're encouraging everyone to use it.
Yes, and it's the truth and reality of what's going on out there. We cannot close our eyes because these animals, we can't hide them. Why should we hide them or hide the problems or just totally ignore it and close our eyes and say, because I don't like hearing, that they're property, known as property. They're not property. Our properties are homes, our cars, and all that.
Right.
They are a living animal being, just like a living human being. They deserve the rights granted, not denied. If you ever noticed, because I do shows for all of them, Voices Carry for Animals is for all of them, farm, domestic, wild, you name it. And I could go on with these shows till the day I die and would still cover all the issues that's going on out there because it's heartbreaking. It's sad. You see these animals, just the look on their face, of just discomfort and fear. They shouldn't have to live in fear. They shouldn't have to live out on a chain, out in the cold weather when it's 10 below zero or if it's really hot out. There's so many issues, and I've had shows on that, chaining. Donna Hughes, I know you've heard of her.
Right. She's awesome.
She is awesome. She's been on here several times and looking forward to having her back. But there's a list of names I've had on for chaining, dog chaining. And, you're seeing the victories come through, but it doesn't seem like fast enough.
I know
it's not going to happen overnight, but the faster we, get together, take that action, get to the politicians and come together as one. And tell them, hey, this is a situation here. Can we do, make some improvements in this life that these animals are living?
Well, and what's just so shocking? Oh, sorry.
No, that's all right. Go ahead. It's fine.
Yes, and if you would like to continue with any of your topic, Ashley, just cut me off.
No, this is part of my topic.
I mean, told you to go off the airways now.
well, yes, because this topic in particular is very, very. I don't know if you want to call it near and dear to my heart because it's not dear. It weighs heavily on me, and what I just find shocking. Is that over 20 years ago, and this is what I have in and information that I share with people, is it's just shocking to me that over 20 years ago, a federal organization, as we know, the USDA, labeled chaining cruel. Over 20 years ago. But what have we done as a nation to ease the suffering of our best friends? I mean, we're having victories, which is a wonderful. We have an awesome whippersnapper chaining warrior in Georgia. She just got a her tethering ordinance passed for her county, and she has not given up. She is fighting tooth and nail, just to move forward to get these dogs off of chains. But there are still so many states. I mean, we have about 21 states as an entire country that addresses chaining as a state. Only 21 in 50 states. So as a whole, there's still so many states that have no protection for this type of suffering, and it's an epidemic. It really is an epidemic, and it's like we like to talk that, you know, we're such a proud country, and we're so modern and advanced and powerful, yet our dogs suffer in our backyards, you know, and it feels.
I know. It's terrible. It's,
Jen, honestly, like, part of the reason why your campaign is so important to me and why I've highlighted it a lot on Humane Mushing is because a lot of these concentration camps for sled dogs and a lot of the factory farming and the chain warehousing, none of it would be able to happen if the chaining was outlawed and the sled dogs were not excluded. So it might seem like something, like, it's completely pertinent to the cause of humane mushing. It's really the root of why a lot of these conditions exist, because mushers wouldn't be able to have 200, 300, 400 dogs.
Right.
If they couldn't chain them. So, I mean, that's really the root of a lot of the issues in our sport, is the fact that chaining is accepted and permitted and legal.
Because it's a cheap way for them to, you know, keep these dogs alive in mass quantities.
Yep.
And how can you physically, unless you have huge staff, you know, a huge amount of staff, you cannot keep 200 dogs physically, you know, in decent shape and living in these conditions. You know, they're not going to get vet care. They're not going to, you know, they're just,
they don't.
I mean, they're just mass quantities of product. They treat them as product and a tool.
And there's even photos, if you go on the site, and photos that PETA posted from the complaint we made against Dallas, that show, like, the dogs chopped up on the board into categories like A string, the maybe team, the B team, just generic dogs, tour dogs, and puppies, and other. And it's just, I mean, they categorize them, and the ones that they deem the most profitable and the fastest and the most valuable receive the most care, which is still hardly any care compared to how you or I would take care of our animals.
Right.
But they're receiving more care than the B string, the C string, and the retired and the elderly dogs. And it's just, it's absolutely disgusting to actually watch.
Well,
know that it
just
goes on, it's legal.
Well, and it's just flabbergasting, because generally speaking, I mean, even if, like, okay, a good, say a good, a musher, okay. If they're going to view their dogs even in this manner, that it's a tool or a machine, don't you even oil your machine? Don't you give it the best care? Don't you buff it up? Don't you keep it out of the rain so it doesn't get rusty, et cetera, et cetera? You know, if they're going to look at these dogs as machines, don't you still take good care of your machine if you want the best performance out of it? And treating the dogs like this, that is, I mean, how do they even get the performance that they're wanting when they're freezing to death, shivering and shaking in little plastic barrels in the mud? I mean, how do you even get halfway decent performance out of a dog that's experiencing this kind of a life? It's just, it makes no sense.
I can tell you how. It's because the dogs that are, they start with the biggest pool possible, the dogs that that perform the best get run more often, get fed better quality food, get provided with more bedding, get run more and more and more often as they narrow down to the 16 that they're going to take to the Iditarod or the Yukon Quest. And so those dogs do as the, I'm trying to think of the word, as it narrows, as it bottlenecks, you do have dogs that are capable of doing quite good performance-wise, but you still, even when you get the top athletes that you get to the start of the Iditarod, you still have dogs dropping dead from regurgitating food and choking on it and aspirating. You have dogs dropping dead basically because their heart exploded while they were running. You have dogs that are testing positive for drugs. You have mushers like Mitch Seavey who have been putting topical NSAIDs on their dogs to alleviate pain and make dogs run through the pain. And I mean, they're not just top athletes that are doing this race. They're still dying doing the race. Even the top of the top are dying doing the race, getting injured doing the race, getting fed insane amounts of additives just to attempt to finish the race. Unless on average, like over the last, I think I have it counted out over the last like 15 years, on average, less than half the dogs finish that start for the Iditarod. So even the top cream of the crop, still they're not able to do it because it's too much and they're not receiving the care they need.
Terrific. I mean, literally, I encourage everyone to watch the sled dog film. If you didn't before, if your eyes were not open before, but truly grab a tissue because it will tear your heart out to see these dogs and what happens to these dogs. And, the way that the Iditarod is currently run and carried out, and the way these dogs are kept, it has to turn around. It's got to change. It's not right.
That's horrific. I mean, I looked at those photos. It looks like a concentration camp. First thing came to my mind is animal slavery and animal bullying.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is.
That is front lines. Animal cruelty in the first degree. You know, just like
sad
you see this.
Faces.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. So why
and,
wouldn't...
And a lot of it...
Go ahead. Yeah.
A lot of it is possible because of major corporate sponsorship. And if you go on Humane Mushing and click on Action Alerts, like if you want to try and do something about it, anybody that's listening... We've got like a dozen petitions on there to places like Alaska Airlines, Coca-Cola, Chrysler, Golden Corral, North Rim Bank. Jack Daniels is a huge one right now. PETA's planning a protest there to the mayors of Anchorage and Nome, the governor of Alaska, and the Alaska State Senate. Like we're begging these people to actually look at what is going on with these dogs and begging the legislators to make a change and honestly just begging the corporate sponsors to stop funneling money into these concentration camps because that's another huge reason why it's able to go on is because these corporate sponsors
funded
are clinging to the old view of the Iditarod where, oh, it's man against nature and it's this amazing thing, and they refuse to look behind the scenes.
Right.
It's sickening. It is sickening.
Yeah.
It's profit before people and profit before animals. You know,
and because
like,
you know these places don't want the public to know. They don't want the public to see the dark, like it says, as the sled dog film says, it's a dark secret, the dark truth behind the lives of these dogs and what they're forced to go through. It's just it's horrid. It's absolutely horrible.
When the film first came out, one tour operator actually went on one of the Mushing Facebook pages and told people, you need to take down all the photos of your dog yards, you need to take down any photos of your dogs where they're not in coat, where they're muddy, you need to stage photos where the dogs are clean, where they're free, like literally, and I have photos of all of it because I screenshot everything.
Oh,
and it was literally just a touring kennel telling all these other mushers, hey, you know, we got to put on this
front
false, this front because they're starting to look. So go fix your Facebook pages, fix your websites.
Goodness.
Like,
oh,
don't
my
let people
God, this
see.
Is
and
sickening.
I was,
false advertising.
Yeah,
yes. Yep. That is terrible.
Hiding the truth. Oh,
hiding the truth. And it shouldn't be hidden. You know, there's just too many greed bullies out there. It's all about me. Yep. Narcissistic, you know, and not even thinking about anybody else or how they got to where they're at. You know, and they're all of us is going to die one day. Nobody gets excluded. You can't take the money with you when you die, okay? Yep. I've never seen it happen yet, and it won't happen. You can't, you know, knock on somebody's desk and go, hey, we got you some more money. You want to use it or put it in the bank, you know?
Right. Yeah, nope.
It's not going to happen. So these greed bullies out there got to think about it because one day they're going to die too. And you never know when it's going to happen to them where they're mistreated. You know, it could be in a nursing home
right.
like my father. Front lines, you know, 2 months, and he was gone. And only supposed to be in there, you know, 120 days to come home for dementia. And we didn't start like that, but I've seen that stuff front lines. And that's why I'm still going through it 9.5 years later, fighting. Okay.
Well, you're a soldier, Debbie. Thank you.
Yeah, you
are.
So are you, Ashley.
Yeah.
We're all animal warrior sisters, and we got our animal warrior brothers out there. You know,
absolutely.
So it's like we got to stick together. We have to continue. We have to recruit more. Hey, let's do what's right here. Put all that money cha-ching on to the side and think about how these animals are feeling inside and what kind of lives they're leading. I seen a bull. I need to get them on the show. The Bull Defenders. Have you ever heard of them on Facebook? They got this bull's his horns on fire, and people were cheering.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Are you serious? You know, bulls getting stabbed. That's front lines animal cruelty. Now, what is going on? You know,
it's masquerading as sport
and culture.
I mean, that's animal bullying, and we don't like child bullying, do we? No, none of us like that. What about the animals? They get bullied, too, and it's not fair.
Yep.
There's adults out there that's getting bullied. You know, so it's got to draw the line somewhere and head for a better future for them now in the future because they deserve it. You know,
well, they're at our
happy,
mercy.
Not sad.
They're
mercy
at our
on
mercy.
Them, yes.
Yep. I mean,
compassion,
they only
mercy, freedom, comfort, peace, love. That's what we need in this world. More love and kindness. Kindness rocks. You know, I just I looked around and I said, look, you do something kind, even put a bowl of water outside for a wild animal, you could save its life, you know.
Right.
Or just, you know, a stray cat or a dog. You know, make them feel better, not worse, not just ignore them. And these problems, they can't be ignored, everybody, because it's terrible. But, Ashley, I'm going to, you got it on Facebook. You have a humane mushing on there. Everybody, please check it out. Press like, see how you can, you know, get involved. And on the website, www.humanemushing.com, they also are on Twitter. Please do your part. Let's end this. Let's see how many more victories can come in before 2017 ends, and we're going to head on 2018, and we're going to still have problems rolling over from 2017 and from decades ago. So
if you just go to the .com, the easiest way to connect with everything is going to the .com, humanemushing.com. It's got all the action alerts. It's got a lot of information. At the bottom of all the pages, it's got a link to our Facebook, our Twitter, and our Instagram. And if anybody has anything, like we have a spot on there for people that want to speak out about what they've seen, whether they want to remain anonymous or not. We've got a blog that's linked from our main page. And I mean, I want to reiterate, like we're really trying to reform the sport, not to end it. We're just trying to end the cruelty that is so commonplace in it.
Cruelty.
And
we're down to I'm sorry, we're down to 50 seconds here. I want to thank you so much, Ashley, for coming on, and looking forward to having you back on. Keep in touch with, you know, all of us. Jennifer, thank you
much
for calling in, and looking forward to have you in 2018. Keep it up, Animal Warrior sisters and brothers out there. Together we can make a difference. We got to at least try. Don't give up. Put a little love in your
heart
and do
your
part.
Debbie.
all you, you're so very welcome. Thanks, Deb. All for tuning in. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everybody, and be safe, please. And remember, Paul in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. God bless you, everyone.
Have a
nice and peaceful evening. And hope to see you next week with Watchdog Mary. And Pitbull Devin says, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Good night.
Thanks. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.